It is good to see everyone out today. The weather is less than ideal. Sometimes it's really easy to want to stay inside on a day like today, so I'm glad to see everyone made it out. We need to remember all those that are not feeling well today, and especially those of our number who've gone astray over the years. We need to be praying for them. The title of our lesson this morning is, What About the Man Who Never Hears? As we think about the Great Commission that Jesus gave, in Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as we go about the work of carrying out the Great Commission, we're going to come across many different types of lost people. There are going to be those who are just too busy to be troubled with worrying about being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're busy gathering up goods in this world, or too busy receiving secular education, whatever it is that's taking up their time. They're just too busy to worry about God and eternity. Then there are going to be those that are lost that we come across who are just too sophisticated for the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about those that, to the Greeks, the message of Christ and the cross was foolishness. And to many people today, they're just too enlightened, and science has come too far, and it's just God is dead because science has advanced so far. There are many people who actually have that worldview. They're just too sophisticated to worry about eternity. Then there are those who just take too much pleasure in sin. There are too many things that are sinful that they enjoy doing, and they're going to spend their time doing that. There's nothing that you can tell them that's going to change their mind about that. They take too much pleasure in sin. And then, of course, there are all the religious people who are in error. Error will cost people their souls. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 17, the Apostle Peter said, You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. There are many who are religious people who have been caught up in error, and they are lost. Jesus talks about them in Matthew the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where he said, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The things that they did in the name of religion were not done with the authority of Jesus Christ. They were in error, and they're lost. But the one category of people who are lost that gives some Christians trouble to think about is, well, what about the man who never hears the gospel? The one who is maybe in the jungles in the Amazon, and nobody ever shows up there to teach them the gospel. What about that man? Some people think about that, and it causes them problems. It's hard for them to wrap their mind around how could a just and loving God allow somebody who never had the chance to hear the gospel to be sent to eternal punishment. But there's something we need to think about. Actually, there are several things we need to think about when we consider the one who's never heard the gospel. The fact that he's never heard the gospel, the fact that this person exists, it doesn't change the facts, the things that we have been assured of, our faith. It doesn't change those things. God still is. God still is. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the Creator. God is Psalm 19, the 19th Psalm. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. David wrote, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. We can look around us and we can know that the great complexity that exists is not something that appears by chance. It's one of the great evidences of God, the fact that there is such great evidence of design in the universe. From the heavens to the earth to us, to all the living things around us and the great diversity of life, a great evidence that God still is. The fact that somebody may live in a jungle somewhere and has never heard the gospel does not change the fact that God is. It's also the fact that the Bible is still His Word. Whether they ever hear the gospel or not doesn't change the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, Paul said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it is God-breathed. And all Scripture includes both the Old and the New Testaments. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18. Actually, we'll read verse 17 just to kind of get the thought there, where Paul says to Timothy, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain,' and 'The laborer is worthy of his wages.'" Paul says, "The Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." Okay? That is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 15. It's from the Old Testament. "The Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." But notice what else he says, "The Scripture says. The laborer is worthy of his wages." You won't find that anywhere in the Old Testament. The only place that you will find that quotation is in Luke, the 10th chapter, and verse 7, where Jesus said it, "The laborer is worthy of his wages." So both the Old and the New Testament are Scripture, and he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul told the Thessalonians, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." The message that the apostles brought, just as John chapters 14, 15, and 16 tell us, they are the word of God. And Paul says, when you read what I wrote, you can understand what I understand. In Ephesians chapter 3, and verses 3 through 5. The Bible is still the word of God. God is. The Bible is still His Word, and we can trust in that. We've done a series of lessons on how trustworthy the Scriptures are. The fact that the men who wrote the Bible were able to give predictive prophecies hundreds or even thousands of years before these things came to pass. That is proof of the inspiration of the Bible, that it did come from God. The fact that when you look at Jesus, and you look at over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus that came to pass, that doesn't happen by chance. The Bible is the Word of God. Scientific foreknowledge. They knew things in the Old Testament. You read through the Psalms and it talks about the paths of the sea, for instance, talking about the currents in the ocean. They didn't know about those things back then. They didn't know about those things till the 1800s. But the Bible writers knew that. Things such as that, they proved that the Word of God is the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And also, Jesus is still the only Savior. Even if someone lives in the Amazon or in the Eastern Bloc countries or wherever he's at in the world, he's never heard the gospel, Jesus is still the only Savior. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way to the Father. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved other than the name of Christ." Christ is still the only Savior. Whether someone in the jungles ever hears the gospel or not, it doesn't change that fact. And it also doesn't change the fact that men must still obey the gospel in order to be saved. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says the trouble with Israel is that they haven't all obeyed the gospel. That's why they're not going to be saved, because they haven't all obeyed the gospel. We have to obey the gospel. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." You've got to hear it, and you've got to obey it in order to be saved. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 6, Paul told the Thessalonians, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you,
and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Jesus is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God and on those who don't obey the gospel. Men must still obey the gospel in order to be saved. The fact that someone exists somewhere that's never heard of the gospel doesn't change all of these facts. And also, we need to remember about this man who has never heard. We need to remember that he is not innocent. He is not guiltless. He is still a sinner. You know, if you watch the specials on PBS, the National Geographic specials, or on Discovery Channel, or any of these other multiple channels that we have to choose from these days that show these types of programs, where they'll go down into the jungles and they will video these people in their lives and talk about them and learn about them and study them. And we get to watch those shows about these folks, and they present this idea that, well, these people don't necessarily deal with the temptations and things that we have. They don't have to worry about drugs, and they don't have to worry about gun violence, and they don't have to worry about gangs, and they don't have to worry about pornography and the internet and all the different temptations to sin that we deal with in our modern society. They're at one with nature. They live in these peaceful places, and they're not exposed to all that. So you might get the false impression that these people live in guiltless lives. But that's just not the case. They're guilty. They're sinners. We talked about it in class a little bit this morning, that throughout history, throughout all cultures, there is in us, and there is in man, a sense of right and wrong. There's a moral sense that God has put in all of us. One of the great evidences of God, the fact that morality exists, there are some things that are objectively right, and there are some things that are objectively wrong. And they are in all cultures. For instance, you think about marriage. You think about man and woman. There might be societies where men and women, you may have more than one wife. There's societies that have it right and that reflect the biblical view that there is one man and one woman for a lifetime. But in every society, it's always true that a man cannot just have any woman. You cannot have someone else's wife. That's true in all cultures. And so there are things such as that reflect this moral sense that is in all men that God has put there. This man is not innocent. You think about the Canaanites. We did a lesson on the Canaanites several months ago about the God driving the Canaanites out of the land of Canaan and Israel exterminating peoples. If you turn to Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 9, you begin reading in verse 4. God said through Moses, "Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you," talking about the Canaanite people being cast out before the Israelites. He says, "Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob." They were wicked. They were idolatrous and wicked. And the greatest example of their wickedness would be their sacrificing of their children to their false gods, to their idols. But then you look at, for instance, Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah when the angel showed up to visit Lot. They had been sent to punish. And while they were there, the people of Sodom surrounded the house and wanted Lot to send out these men that they might know them carnally. They were wicked. They were wicked people. The Canaanites were wicked people that were driven out from before the Israelites because of their wickedness. They were sinners. Turn to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. beginning in verse 18, where Paul, here in the first three chapters of Romans, shows that both Jew and Gentile alike are all guilty of sin before God. He says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And he begins to list out there the sins of which they were guilty. They could look around them and know that there is a God. But instead of acknowledging that and seeking the God who created the things around them, they worshiped the things that were created. And they gave up the natural use of man and woman, and they were guilty of all sorts of sin and immorality. These people that live out in the jungle, they are sinners. They are guilty of violating God's law. And they are not innocent. We need to keep that in mind. He also needs the gospel. Because this person is guilty of sin, this hypothetical man that has never heard, he needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19. "Go and make disciples of all the nations." Go and make disciples of all the nations. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What is the point of that? What is the implication of that? The fact that we are supposed to go and preach the gospel to every creature and make disciples of all the nations. The implication is that they need to hear the gospel. All men everywhere need to hear the gospel. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We are all sinners, and once we sin, remember what Isaiah said. God said through Isaiah in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. And it is appointed unto man to die once, and after this the judgment." Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. He needs to hear the gospel. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." All men everywhere. And that includes people that are living off in the jungles in South America, or somewhere over in Africa, or maybe in one of the Eastern Bloc countries. All men everywhere need to repent. God is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. All men need to hear the gospel. And some would argue, well, if they've never heard the gospel, well, then they're not amenable to the gospel. They're not going to be held accountable to the gospel and have that idea. But if that's the case, if that man is okay without hearing the gospel, then the worst thing that we can do is to preach it to him and make him accountable to it. It's the absolute worst thing. Why would Jesus say, "Go and make disciples of all the nations"? Wouldn't it be better if we just isolate the gospel over there to the area of Palestine and let those people worry about being held accountable, and the rest of us can just live in our blissful ignorance? That would be the logical conclusion. All men need to hear the gospel. And not only that, he is not beyond the reach of God. That man in the jungle, that man in the Eastern Bloc, that man over in Africa, that man up in the furthest reaches of Canada and up in Alaska and anywhere else that they might be, they are not beyond the reach of God. In Acts chapter 8, we read about the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And then you'll remember what happened. He found the Ethiopian eunuch reading from Isaiah 53, and the man said, he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone shows me? He said, is he speaking about himself or some other man? Isaiah 53, the suffering servant passage. And then Philip preached the gospel, and they came across some water, and that eunuch said, what hinders me from being baptized? Here's water, what hinders me? If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And they stopped that chariot, they went down in the water, and that eunuch was baptized, and he came up out of the water, and Philip was carried away, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But he was on his way to Gaza. It was a road, and that's an interesting detail, that it says that it was a desert road. But God found him. He was seeking the truth, and God found him. In Acts chapter 10, we read about Cornelius. Cornelius was a devout man who gave alms. He prayed to God always, and God sent an angel to him, and he said, you send men for Peter, and he'll tell you what you must do. And so he did, and Peter was sent for, and he had that dream about the sheep coming down and collecting all these animals. And he was told, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. And he says, what I've sanctified, don't you call common or unclean. And that happened three times. And then Peter was called to Cornelius' household, and he preached the gospel to him. And Cornelius and his household obeyed the gospel, and they were saved. God reached Cornelius, who was seeking the truth. And of course, God used angels in this instance. This is miraculous. And that doesn't happen today. But the man who has never heard the gospel today, who is seeking the truth, is not beyond the reach of God. And here is a modern example. And this is from the Watchman Magazine website. And this is Stan Cox's account of Joshua Mahendranath and what happened with him. It says, while Joshua Mahendranath was working in Kuwait, he determined to use his time away from his family to study for himself the truth of God's word. Joshua's from India, Bangalore, India. He was working in Kuwait, and he was spending that time to learn about God. He was seeking God. He signed up for many correspondence courses over the internet, and from them found that those courses he received from churches of Christ were different. They were challenging and Bible-based, and from them he learned the truth. He requested information regarding any Christians who might be in the area that he might be baptized into Christ. Marvin Dawson, who now is a member of the Northside Congregation in Mansfield, Texas, was at that time employed as a pilot for the royal family of Kuwait, and the two were able to meet. Marvin was able to teach and baptize seven Indians, including Joshua, before returning to the States. After his time in Kuwait, Joshua returned to Bangalore, India, where his wife's parents and brother live. He and his wife, Aruna, continued to grow as Christians, spending a great deal of time corresponding with Bobby Holmes, who many know as the evangelist for the Northside congregation where Brother Dawson attends. Joshua and Bobby became very close, and when Joshua asked him to come to India and help establish a church in the Bangalore area, Bobby could not refuse. He asked me to accompany him, and the trip was planned. And again, this was Stan Cox. So Joshua Mahendranath from India is working down in Kuwait and is seeking God, and Marvin Dawson from Mansfield, Texas, just so happens he's working for the Kuwaiti royal family as their pilot, and they're able to get together. He was baptized into Christ. He became acquainted with Bobby Holmes and asked him to come to India and help him establish a church. And Bobby and Stan went over there, and over the last, this was 2004, over the last 10 years, there are literally hundreds and thousands of Christians in India because one man is seeking after God. Now, we can't put our finger on that and say that God did this, but we know that he did. God, through his providence, made sure that this man who was seeking him was able to find him. Nobody is beyond the reach of God. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. We have to seek. If we're seeking, we will find. in Acts chapter 17. In Acts the 17th chapter, the Apostle Paul, preaching at Mars Hill in Athens, says, beginning in verse 26 of Acts the 17th chapter, "And he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." If we seek the Lord, we will find him. But we've got to seek him. And that goes for everybody all over the face of the earth. They are not beyond the reach of God. And God and his providence can make sure that they learn the truth if they are genuinely seeking it. You know, we read the Great Commission. One of the most important parts of that is one that gets overlooked frequently. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Notice what he says. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When we preach the gospel, when we do what Jesus tells us to do, he is with us always, even to the end of the age. We have God on our side doing the work that he has given for us to do. Share the gospel of the lost and dying world with men who need it. So what about that man who hasn't heard? The man who's never heard the gospel. Many people use that, the fact that somebody somewhere has never heard the gospel, and that means that God's not. God's not anymore, and the Bible is just another book. Men don't need to hear that. Of course, if God's not, we don't have to worry about him being within the reach of God. But it's an excuse. People use it as an excuse to not obey the word of God. But the fact of the matter remains, Jesus is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the invitation is extended this morning. Perhaps there's someone here who's not yet obeyed the gospel. Won't you do that today when you have the chance? You've heard the gospel. You know. You're not one of those who's never heard. It's not a legitimate excuse for you. It's not a legitimate excuse for them, and it's certainly not for you because you've heard. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Confess him before men. Be baptized in water on the basis of your faith and your repentance of your sins. If you'll do that, you'll have the hope of heaven. You'll be able to spend an eternity with God, enjoying the bliss of heaven in his presence. If you'll be faithful. If you'll be faithful. If you're here this morning and you're already a child of God and you've not lived your life the way that you ought to, you know that you must walk in the light as he is in the light in order to have your sins continually cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you haven't been doing that, repent of your sins and we'll pray with you. We'll pray to you and God will forgive you. Whatever your need might be this morning, won't you come forward and make it home altogether with Sam and Sam?